This recording, Australia 15, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Comma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onaroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the Territory. So she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. The area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there, there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising, because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling, "Come, ah, come, ah," which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Comma was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her. But Sarah had a different idea. First she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally she administered ether. Her efforts were not futile. In no time, the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold on to Comma and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bathe the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her on her right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. "I can't imagine paying so much." But Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure. When the war broke out, we left Warsaw on a train for somewhere in Russia. We had no idea which city we're going to or where we'd finish up. And when we arrived in Russia and were stopped at one of the stations, my father was asked if he would sign naturalization papers so that we could become true Russian free citizens. And being worried that we mightn't get out of Poland when the war finished, my father refused. So as enemy aliens, because at that time, because of the signing of the Molotov-Ribbentrop Pact, Polish citizens were enemy aliens, and as such we were sent to one of Stalin's holiday camps in Siberia. But after a while, when they started getting prisoners of war and they needed these camps for more worthy people, they packed us all onto a train and just sent us off into the never. And we finished up living near the Urals, in the Urals some of the time, but we spent a lot of time moving around until we finished up in a place called Jambul, which was in Kazakhstan, just near the border of, Kyrgyzstan, I think it was. And at the end of the war, as soon as we heard that the war had ended, my father said, "Right, we're going to leave right now before they change their minds." And it was fortunate that we did, because many of the Jews who remained in Russia or who dilly-dallied in getting out, and of course those who'd signed naturalization papers, didn't get out for years and years later.